I have no greater joy. My children lift up the sacrifice of praise in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of affliction and persecution. I have no greater joy, nor does my angels, when they see me rejoice over you. Because when you are fought sorely against and your faith is questioned, and he comes to accuse you and accuse me, but when you lift up holy hands and offer the sacrifice of praise, I say unto you that I have no greater joy that my children bring me. And know this, that the joy, my joy, is your strength, saith the Spirit of grace. Mocharese. Erechote, yes, sir. Mjeta elesete. Consider all those who walk by faith. Consider the latter end of Job. That the latter was greater than the former. What has been shall not always be. For I am changing things in the spirit with your confessions. Know that the rudder of your mouth, your tongue, is changing the world that you live in. First the spiritual, then the natural. First the spiritual, then the natural. First the spiritual, then the natural, saith the Spirit of grace. For as I turned Job's world, and I turned his affliction and those things that came against him, so shall I turn yours, saith the Spirit of grace. I have no greater joy than my children worship me and offer the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Well, happy Mother's Day to all. And there's all the mothers. And that really is qualified by more than just physical mothers. But we'll say some more about that a little bit later. Hallelujah. All you ladies out there in streaming land, happy Mother's Day. We appreciate you so much. Glory. In just a few moments, the children will be dismissed for a bit, and then we'll bring them back because we want to have them here for something we want to do for the mothers in just a little bit. But I want to thank you in advance for your giving online, giving in person. It really helps. And your faithfulness is it's how God continues to bless this ministry and gives us the ability to pay our bills and keep going and being blessed. And we are blessed, and we worship you, Jesus, for that. I'm going to ask you to consider what that is now. If you want to give at this point in time, that's fine. You can come to the front while the kids are being dismissed, and there's offering baskets here. There's a box in the back. Whatever's convenient for you. Giving online, we have a number of different ways. And Vanco, PayPal, we just make it as convenient for you as possible. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this grace in abundance. We bless them. We thank you, Father, for the support of the ministry and all that you do, because this is something of faith, and we continue to walk in faith. And we thank you that you are the provider, both to them first and then to the corporate. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in just a moment, we'll have another kind of recess for just a moment, and you can bring that forward. But I think Amber, my oldest daughter, she's going to be next door with the kids this morning, so she's not going to be in here, but she wanted to say something to her mother, I believe, this morning.
Good morning. This is very short. I just wanted to say happy Mother's Day to you. I'm not going to cry. But I wasn't going to say anything this morning, but driving over here, I had some thoughts. And this is going to sound crazy, but thank you for not being hard on me and Davey. You were never hard on us. And I think that that's a nice thing to share for anybody who thinks that you have to demand anything from your kids. If you are just honorable and respectful, they will follow that. And you don't ever have to say, stand up, sit down. Yes, ma'am, no, sir. If you are just an honorable mother, they will grow up to honor you. And I know there were times growing up, Dad said, Candy, you need to make them do this. We had chores, but little. There was nothing we were made to do. And a lot of people say, well, what's going to happen to them? What happened to us is we grew up with a mother that, and this will never happen, mom and dad are going to go together like the notebook, but in another universe, me and Davey never fight, but if something ever happened and we would fight over who took mama because we love her that much. And just thank you for being so honorable and respectful and never ever demanding anything of us. And I realized this morning, the reason you did that was because you trusted the end result so much. You trusted Jesus so much that he could take care of everything. You didn't have to worry about it. You could just love us. So that's it.
That was absolutely truth, but there was a good cop and a bad cop. Amen. Amen. And we just believe the word of God all the way through. Proverbs, when it said, you know, do not spare the rod. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so you need both. You need that balance of both. And I needed Candy. She needed me. She grew up in a home that wasn't necessarily the case. I grew up in a home where that was the case every day. And you say, well, was your dad that rough on you? No, my mama was. I was raised by an alpha mother. And so, hallelujah. You need both. And I'm so thankful for Candy. And praise God. Let's all stand once again. Glory. Hallelujah. So, Marty, give us something. You give us something, okay? There's one of our wonderful, handsome worship leaders. It's married to this beautiful girl. So give us something, and we'll bring something or give something, or you don't have anything. That's fine as well. Give somebody the second handshake or hug or say Happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. All right. Would you give a watch to this? Something I think is really edifying, and I think you'll enjoy it, and I'll be right back with you. Amen.
Hello, thank you so much for joining me today for Give Him 15. And the title of our post today is The Importance Honoring Our Mothers. In America, on this upcoming Sunday, we will celebrate our moms. Exodus 20, verse 12, lists the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Ephesians 6:2-3 echoes the commandment. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long the land. An article on the website compellingtruth.org shares interesting insights on honoring our parents. They say, what does it mean to honor one's parents? In the Old Testament, the word translated honor is the word kabod. It means to be heavy, weighty, rich, and glorious. I will add, it's the same root word for glory. In other words, they say our parents should be a significant priority in our lives. They should not be ignored or taken lightly. Our choices should take their needs and wishes into serious consideration. The Greek word used for honor in Ephesians 6:2 is timao. It means to determine the value of something. In this case, determining that the value is high. We should give our parents a high value, even higher than those in ministry, Mark 7:9-13 tell us. Treat them accordingly. What specifically does this look like, this article asks? Well, basically, they say we're to take every passage that describes how we should treat others and apply it to our parents. Love them with agape love. Treat them with the fruit of the Spirit. Speak of them and to them with respect. They give references for all of these, by the way. Forgive them wholeheartedly and seek reconciliation when issues and misunderstandings get in the way. Interesting thoughts. Our late friend, Quinn Shearer, shared some great insights a while back on honoring mothers and on the history of this special day. She says, did you notice that mother is singular in the phrase Mother's Day? I had never thought about it. It's singular. Special honor for your special mom. You shower her with hugs and gifts, a phone call, maybe even a meal out. On Mother's Day, you may honor your birth mom, an adoptive mom, foster mom, stepmom, or grandmother, even an aunt who mothered you. Perhaps you thank a special spiritual mom who taught and encouraged you in your Christian walk. I'm glad there's a day set aside nationally to pay tribute to them, Quinn says. In America, the original Mother's Day was observed in St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia, almost heaven, West Virginia, on May 10th, 1908, spearheaded by Anna Jarvis as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for their children. On May 9th, 1914, 6 years later, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed a national day to honor motherhood the second Sunday of every May. In his first proclamation, he stated that the holiday offered a chance to publicly express our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. He also saw it as a way to honor mothers who had lost sons during World War I. He said, therefore, I, Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the said joint resolution, do hereby direct the government officials to display the United States flag on all government buildings. Did you know that? They displayed the flag on Mother's Day. And he continued, and do invite the people of the United States to display their flag at their homes or other suitable places on the second Sunday in May as a public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. Awesome. Quinn says restaurants reported as their best day of the year. More phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year. How about that? We do it to honor those women who loved us and put up with us all those years. We display flags, wear white carnations, buy gifts, take mom out to eat. What about those of us who no longer have our precious moms with us? Quinn says. We can still remember and honor them by thanking God for their sacrifices, influence, and prayers. She concludes by saying, have you thought about sending a note of appreciation to a mom who influenced you? Maybe they counseled or prayed for you during a difficult season of your life, or encouraged you in your career or Christian journey. So practical. Perhaps someone else's mom who took time to care for you. Cards and phone calls can brighten their day, make them feel appreciated and special. Amen. I thought I would attempt to bring a few smiles to the moms joining me today. In the book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, great title, Deanne Carter shares from an article listing several signs in moms that indicate what she refers to as advanced mommydom. Don't worry that you don't understand some of these, guys. Just defer to the ladies. Leanne states, you know you've crossed the threshold into advanced mommydom when you count the sprinkles on each kid's cupcake to make sure they're equal. You hide in the bathroom to be alone. Your child throws up and you catch it. You've mastered the art of placing large quantities of pancakes and eggs on a plate without anything touching. You hope ketchup is a vegetable because it's the only one your child will eat. You can't bear the thought of your son's first girlfriend. You find yourself cutting your husband's sandwiches into unusual shapes. You fast forward through the scene when the hunter shoots Bambi's mother. You become a member of 3 aquariums because your kid loves sharks. You hear your mother's voice coming out of your mouth when you say, "Not in your good clothes." You stop criticizing the way your mother raised you. You use your own saliva to clean your child's face. You say at least once a day, "I'm not cut out for this job." But you know you wouldn't trade it for anything. Honor a mother this week, especially this Sunday. You'd be glad you did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of our mothers who brought us into this world. We're so grateful for them and the sacrifices they made. See us through our good seasons as well as our trying ones, challenging times as well as triumphant and joyous times. Show us creative ways to honor them. Help us teach our children and grandchildren how to bless the mothers and grandmothers who have gone before them, especially for those who left footsteps of faith for them to follow. For the last couple of decades, it seems that we in America failed to teach the important principle of honor, whether it be in our nation or whether it be our nation, its flag, our military, others who sacrifice for us, or even our fellow man in general. We have lost ground in this area. Help us to recover it. You told us to, in honor, prefer one another and give honor to whom honor is due. This is not an insignificant issue to you. And lastly, we honor you, Lord, above all others. Thank you for your love, blessings. All of this we pray in the name of your great Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. And our decree, we declare that we will honor our parents. We will, as God has instructed us to do. By the way, he said it adds years to our lives. Do so. Thank you for joining me. Honor a mom this weekend. And please join me again on Monday. See you then.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, again, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers, and I appreciate my mom so much. 6 years in September, she's been in heaven. Still have my dad. Glad to have my dad still with us. Hallelujah. I was raised to always remember, my mom would often rehearse to me, I guess hundreds of times through my childhood. And I was just, you know, I don't know why that I ever got a spanking, because I know I'd never deserved any of them. If I was anything like Silas, which, you know, they guessed that I probably was. That's my youngest grandson. Great little guy, but very determined. And my mom said there was no child on the planet that was as stubborn as you were. But maybe that stubbornness has kind of been part of the personality that God has used to have a no quitter, with no quitting sense. And she would remind me often that she, of course, I don't remember, but she and my dad would tell me that she laid, back then, they did not take children as often in a cesarean, a C-section situation. They really kind of frowned on that. So they let her lie 72 hours in hard labor. And she was to the point of death. And she said to God, she told me this often, she said, she didn't know boy or girl. She said, if I live, and if this child lives, I promise you, I will raise him to follow God. And I commit him, or child, whatever, this child to you. I dedicate this child to you here. So I was dedicated, you know, in that sense of the word, before I ever came out of the womb. And she did. She raised me in church. I had my mom helped develop and this is something to say, because usually parents are adverse to this, to this, but she developed a real drug problem with me. And she's consequential to my drug problem. She drugged me to church Sunday morning and Sunday night. And Wednesday night. Back then, people went to church 3 or 4 services a week, and they didn't think anything of it. Come on, somebody. Amen. You guys are too serious this morning. This Mother's Day, lighten up. And I had a drug problem. And what about school and all that stuff? Well, and I'm not belittling everything nowadays, but many times, you know, the kids would camp out, sleep under the pews, and I don't think it hurt me a bit. And revival services would, you know, they called it revival services. Sometimes a guy would start 1 week, and then he'd go 2 or 3 weeks. You'd lay under those, you know, pews, and interesting things under pews. You get to pick your own type of bubble gum, or come on. Did y'all get some rest last night? This is harder to work than a Vegas crowd. Come on. I'm not serious. Yeah, I am. But it doesn't matter. Here's the deal. You may have a mom like that you could describe. But then automatically minds go to, well, I didn't have that. I didn't have that. I didn't have that. But I love what Pastor Dave used to say. We may not have came into this world all equal in our first birth. But in our second birth, when you were born again, conceived of the Holy Spirit and brought into this world through the spiritual womb, we all received the birthrights, equal and same. Hallelujah. It didn't matter if your mom was an alcoholic, abusive mother, didn't raise you in church and didn't dedicate you. You were not dedicated. The moment that you got born again, all, I mean every bit of all victimization, you no longer were a victim. You were born again. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. All having equal rights to be healed and to walk into the fullness of God. Nothing had the capacity, no memory, no abuse. That might take a little bit, but all things, all bets are off. Well, I wasn't raised that way. I know, sweetheart, but are you born again? Yes. Are you spirit-filled? Yes. Why don't you just let him be the healer? Well, it might take a lifetime. Oh, no, it won't take hardly no time if you'll just let him. People live in a past world, and they give that the place. Well, I am what I am because he did this or she did that. No, no, you've been born again. You've been born again. The only reason why you stay year after year in the same way is because you shouldn't talk like this on Mother's Day. I know it, but it helps. The only reason why is because you make a choice to stay in one place and not go forward in all the things that are provided for you through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. As long as you think that something has the power to victimize you of the past, you'll live in that. But once you square your shoulders up and say, no, no, I don't care. I'm as equal to, my future is as equal to a story like Pastor Bronx, where his mom dedicated. That, after the new birth, that means nothing. It's the planes are all planed out. However you got into the kingdom, at 25, 35, 45, 55, whenever that happened, we all became equal. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God, you ought to lift your hands and praise God. We magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We've been born again. We've been born again. Hallelujah. Mahalecharise. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be with you a little bit here because we want to celebrate. No church tonight. Harry, remember to send out something afterwards. Generational categories are broad groups of people born within similar time periods who share common cultural, social, and historical experiences. The most common categories are these. The silent generation, that is the generation born in 1945, the baby boomers from 1946 to 1964. Wow, I can't believe I'm in the second category. That's just not right. But I noticed as these categories are going, that one has like almost 100-year span time period to it. But as the periods get further along, as these categories, they really squish them down. And they make them like just 20-year segments. And I guess that's because how times are changing so much quicker. And the generation that we're in, the Generation X, is 1965. Now, I will say this. I was born at the end of the baby boomer thing. So the Generation X is 1965 to 1980, generally speaking. Millennials are 1981 to 2000. And Gen Zs, or Generation Z, is 2000 to 2020. Additionally, the Generation Alpha is the term for those born after 2021. And, oh, by the way, congratulations to Carl and Jacoby. Oh, yes. Little Royce has come. And, man, he's a healthy looking little kid. I told Carl, I said, man, he's ready to start bench pressing right now. He looked great. He was just fantastic, all filled out. So they got home yesterday, and so we congratulate them. Amen. Now, those are the categories according to, what man would say. That let me give you some other categories inside the generational categories. And this is not exhaustive. I'm just coming up with some things. Married moms with underage children. In other words, they're not out of the house yet. Married moms, but separated with underage children. Single moms working, or single moms not working with underage children. I don't know how that would exist, hardly. Married moms with underage children working outside of the house. That happens a lot. That's several of you here and out there as well. Grandmothers working and raising grandchildren. That phenomenon is stronger today than ever before. Grandparents are raising grandchildren, and their parents, kids' parents, are somewhere else. Grandmothers, and I'm specifically making this about moms and grandmothers. Grandmothers non-working and raising grandchildren. Mothers that are estranged for whatever reason from their children. Grandmothers estranged from their grandchildren. Women who have raised, now this is another category that I would say mothers, women who have raised children that never gave physical birth, but I would call them mothers. And spiritual moms, there are spiritual moms with no physical children, but I would call them mothers because they have really been spiritual moms over men and women that are raised and become viable citizens and good Christians that follow Christ. Now, having said that, there is really, God understands all of those different categories, and that's not an exhaustive list. If I didn't name you as a mother or mom or a woman, it's not because you don't exist and that God doesn't take a particular interest in your life, your station, your category, however you want to say it. But as spiritual things go and authority goes, there's really only one category with God, and that is Joel's army. You're all spiritually endowed by the born again spirit. And then if you're called, as we are called in these last days, to raise up an army to receive the outpouring of the Spirit and to bring in this great harvest that will then bring in the second and last coming of the Lord. There's really only one category. If we look, you know, just put all those together. But, well, I'll say something else in just a moment. I've started to go someplace that's very valuable. Let me read just a little bit about, you can listen or you can turn there. And I just want to, I may not have all these inserted, and I didn't put them in my original notes, but I want you to listen to Joel's, what he defines as a last day army in Joel chapter 2. And I'm going to insert these women or these mothers or these moms. A fire goeth before these women, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before these moms, these mothers. And behind them is a desolate wilderness, yes, and nothing shall escape them. This is the prophecy of the end times. And it just says, my sons and my daughters, but women are his daughters. Mothers are, of course, his daughters. So it's not, we're not doing anything against the structural integrity of this word. The appearance of these women is as the appearance of horses and horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains, they shall leap like the noise of flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as strong women of God set in battle array. And verse 7 says, they shall run like mighty women of God. They shall climb like mighty, like women of war. Could I have all the women say, I am a woman of spiritual warfare. I am strong and mighty in the Lord. And they shall march every one on his or her way, and they shall not break ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They, the women of God, shall walk every one in her path, and when they fall upon the sword, these women shall not be wounded. In other words, nothing shall destroy them in this last great ongoing towards spiritual revival. These women shall run to and fro in the city, and these women shall run upon the wall. These women and mothers shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like thieves, like a thief. The earth shall quake before these women or these mothers. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall fall. Talking about the end time, withdraw their shining. The Lord shall utter his voice before this army, these women, these mothers, for his camp is very great, and he is strong that executeth this word, or his word. For the day of the Lord is great and terrible, and who can abide in it? One category, as I said, what is that category? Joel's army, but one even closer, you are his daughter. You are his daughter, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spiritually speaking. All mothers, all women of God that are born of the Spirit. You're a daughter, and his grace is sufficient no matter your station or category or circumstances. His grace, if you walk in a fellowship with him, his grace. Paul said this concerning his own life, and you can make this applicable for you. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, let me talk just for a moment about this grace. This grace is a grace that's applicable as you look into him. Because of all the categories that I named to start with, and I'm not talking about the generational categories, I'm talking about even the others that's even more personal, as in your station in life. Single mother, non-single, working, non-working, all different kind of mix and matches that you could put together. And I'm sure I didn't exhaust all the different categories in that sense of the word. But if you don't walk in the grace of that, life will be a task. Because the working mom, which I hope if you're a working mom that you enjoy your job, you have to receive a grace for it. But there's also a sense, if you're not walking in his grace, there can be a sense like, well, I'm working and they're not. And so, boy, I sure wish I had their freedom. I wish I was a mom that could stay home. But you know what I found out, and not just once, many times, the stay-home moms are saying, I wish to God that I could be doing something. I feel like I'm trapped. And the mother over here is saying, I wish you were trapped like me. I'd like to have yours. Honestly, I mean, it's across the board. So there's never a place that's perfect unless you receive the grace to make it perfect. Amen. Amen. Come on, dads. Help me out. He said, my grace is sufficient. Every station for you moms, every station for you, whatever your category, God may not have arranged it. You may have gone through something that your home was destroyed. It's not that God did all these things, but once you find yourself in your situation and it's a must, God's there. God will guide you. God will lead you. God will help you. God will make you happy in the midst of whatever you have to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some moms are like, man, is there life out there? I just look at these four walls all day. And then the moms that are having to work, they're like, I wish I was looking at four walls. So, point well taken. Esther, in Esther 4:14 says this word, and you've heard it many times, but it bears repeating. For if thou altogether, her uncle, which raised her, said this to her because she had risen to a place of where that she was standing next to the king, she became the queen. But even as the queen, she could not come into his presence. without him requesting it or granting it. And it could be death. It really was. The word says it. She said to her uncle, Mordecai, she said, if I go before him and he doesn't, you know, tip his scepter towards me, if he's having a bad day, I'm dead. So she risked all. She said, I'll risk all. But his encouragement, her uncle's encouragement was this: if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, because they were about to be exterminated. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether, this is the famous statement, thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. This is probably the most challenging generation to raise children of all generations prior history. And it's not, we're not necessarily in a war where, I mean, you could throw in all those. I'm not talking about all those cataclysmic I'm talking about everything that the world has to offer and all the social media that has come to divert our children from foundational truths. And all the things that you as an individual mother or mom are having to deal with, or woman having to deal with, there's never been a time, as Jesus said at the end, their hearts will wax gross and they will turn from God because the love of iniquity. And there's so much. Why? It's because the planet is about to receive and is already in the greatest harvest that this world has ever seen. Knowledge will abound, the word says, but the love of many shall wax cold. And so we know that this time in history is it's a vortex. We're coming down to something that we're being all kind of sucked in like a vacuum into something that is beyond us. But you mothers, it's not beyond you to raise your children. I will say this. This is your time to raise or to continue to affect godly seed. There is no retirement. Come on, mothers. No retirement. Lord, I'll just be glad when I get them through high school or at the end of this thing. Listen, there is no retirement for mothers or grandmothers. No, none. If you're going to, no retirement. You must be on the wall of fighting for your posterity. You may wear a beautiful evening gown. I hope it goes all, if you're a real mother of faith, I hope it goes all the way to the floor. Because in the sequins and the evening gown and everything, if you just did this and pulled it up, there's combat boots. There should be combat boots. Not Cinderella slippers. True women and mothers of God are not snowflakes. Amen. It doesn't mess their world up because they broke a fingernail or the pool man didn't show up. Some of you are laughing like, oh my God, that's so. But listen, you don't never. We're finding out this as grandparents, and I've got two wonderful daughters, and they're raising their kids, and their husbands are born again, spirit filled. I have so much to be thankful for. But you mothers, then grandmothers, you're really blessed because you're mothers twice or several times. But you never stop. You never stop. There's never a point like, oh, I'll be so glad when they get to, well, there are junctions where you're like, it's a relief to get them through high school. And then you see them get married, you know. But you're always, you mothers, you're always, there's no retirement. Aren't you glad? There's no retirement. Well, I thought at some point I could just turn it over to their parents. Your parents, you war with their parents. Psalms 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise for us. But you know what the forever loser will say to you? I hope your definition of Satan is that he is the forever loser. Could you say that with me right now? I say Satan is the forever loser.
Forever loser.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you can quote this verse and say, well, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. A lot of times that's applicable, it's wonderful, and it gives you a stance. But what if your child is... you didn't raise your child in church? What if your son or daughter is outside of your house now and you didn't, and the enemy will say, well, you didn't train them up? Or what if you did train them up and they run amok? I love this two verses. I had to ask Candy, where's this at? She had it already this morning. But I remember this is the one that when Gary said, you know, you've heard the story. I can't go into it. But he said all three of his daughters went kind of crazy at the same time. They all rebelled at the same time. He said, oh, my. And so he knew what they were doing. And it wasn't good. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, it's you pray over them, but it's like, well, Satan really has a legal right, it seems like, to destroy them. But God gave him this verse, and it's powerful. These two verses, I love it because it gives us something to stand on, even past Proverbs 22:6, train up a child. Even when they go crazy, Isaiah 49:24-5 says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Or the lawful captive delivered. See, sometimes, now this is, we're not talking about these little ones, but when they get it to be teenagers and they start doing things that they know that they shouldn't be doing. And then the enemy, the forever loser says, you know, I've got them. And I've legally got them. Because they're giving themselves over to me. And this is the question, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? From the satanic forces, or the lawful captive delivered. Sometimes children or teenagers and older kids do things that give Satan the right to really destroy them. But, I like the but in verse 49, thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. And the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Like, Mr. Stupid. You are a forever loser. And even while they're doing stuff, I've got authority over their life. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Here's a paradox. I've spoke about it a little bit already. Because of the war for the planet, this is the most challenging generation to raise children of all generations from the beginning of time. Here's the paradox. Same statement, but just a little different. Because of the war for the planet, this is the most grace-filled generation to raise children of all generations from the beginning of time. For such a time as this. Man, aren't you glad? I mean, we were, I know Genesis, you know, I know that how that, you know, things come into being, and in a certain sense, it was God just put man in charge of posterity and raising up godly seed. But I am so thankful that God allowed me to be born at this time in this season, because we're in a world where it's most challenging, but we are generation, and you moms are raising children, and even if they're adults, to see the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And a great, great harvest. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. And this goes back to, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that mothers and grandmothers can give their children is godly heritage. Hallelujah. Well, I want them to have a good college education. Listen, Jesus, I believe that it's possible to send kids to college if they're founded and grounded, and you know, because we need lawyers, we need doctors, we need men and women who are, they've got to get those degrees. But if you don't know what you're doing, I have seen universities destroy kids. They come out of there and they question everything they've learned. And they take on, why? Because up to this point, one of the seven mountains of influence is education. And we, the church, allowed in past generations secularism, humanism, to take over our colleges and schools. And but let me tell you this. There is a groundswell that's taking place in our nation, and we're not hearing a lot about it, except I'm getting, there is college campus, university after university, that are starting to have a true move of God. And a man sent me an article this past week and showed the different facts on it. Europe is catching fire. England, Great Britain, they said there's an insurgence of church attendance. And they're like, we don't even know why. But I'm telling you, the planet is scheduled for, and it's happening now, revival. A great outpouring of God's Spirit. So our college campuses, great things are taking place. So don't, please, parents, make providing for your kids secondary. Make living, I said parents, but particularly this addressed to you mothers, praying for your children is vital. Praying for them. But having a prayer life is more vital. Did you get that? Praying for them is vital, but you having a prayer life that they watch, they see, or they know, hear you talk about, even if as you're going, but as you're talking about and you're telling them, well, Jesus spoke to me this morning. And it doesn't always have to be like Jesus said something about you or some. They just need to hear mom say, me and Jesus have been talking. Hallelujah. Mothers and grandmothers and spiritual moms must wear, as I said, their spiritual combat boots until the day they graduate to heaven. There's no retirement in the spirit. Hallelujah. The war for the planet is being won. This generation is being saved in great reports from all over the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we all stand? Can bring in our mothers here? I think a bunch of them are next door. Or some of them may be next door with the kids. You can bring all the kids back in. I think that's the reason why they're moms, okay? Hallelujah. Candy, would you grab me one of those roses? Yeah, just one. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thanks. Thank you. I'm going to ask that Well, let me give this for just a moment and think about how the Holy Spirit wants to say this. I want to offer, I wish I could reach through the camera and give all you moms a rose. They're coming. The little ones are coming. That's why we're here. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Let's give them a moment to get back over here. Hallelujah. I don't know where my worship leaders are. They're being moms this morning. That's great. That's awesome. Mr. Moms. I love it. There's nothing wrong with that. They're coming. Hallelujah. I want to say to all women this morning, here they are. Here they are. Sometimes when we offer our our love, and here they come, right on cue. Here they come. Sometimes when we give an invitation for our mothers to come, women usually think, well, that's a mother physically. I've given birth. And if you're a woman and you haven't, you think, well, that doesn't qualify me. And to those of you that are watching, I want to offer you this and give this to you as a symbol of our love and affection. But spiritual moms are vital, that have raised children. And moms that provide love, women that provide love and support. Aren't they the greatest? Julie, can you do something with that? No, you just keep her in here. Don't take her no place. Women who provide, I'll get it out in a second, love and support and raise children are just as much mothers. I wish this also, that any woman that is here who futuristically wants to have children comes forward as well. Because it's the greatest, sometimes women are like a little embarrassed, it's the greatest symbol of faith to say, yes, I will have children. I'm going to stand in that line. Amen. Glory to God. My oldest daughter, I don't want to cry, she, for years, because of another situation, did not have children for 10 years in her first marriage. But she was a mother, a true mother. And those children became our grandchildren. And some of those are here today, at least one. But because of standing, God provided a miracle, and now today we're full. Our quiver is full. Hallelujah. And we got a cowboy on the front row. Yes. Physical children. Mothers of all sorts and kinds, please come forward this morning. We want to pray over you. Amen. Hallelujah. And Candy, would you get the girls to? Yeah, that'd be great if you can. Thank you, Jesus. And now, if you're a lady and you're in here and you want to have a child in the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, you need to come up here and stand. Hallelujah, with these mothers. Hallelujah. Some of you women are saying, I'm way past that. Yeah. But their mothers up here. Hallelujah. Hey, buddy. Give me 5. Good job. Woo. He wants pastor. He wants my flower. He came over to get my flower. I'll give it to him in just a moment. Hallelujah. Mothers, we salute you. We love you so much. And all you mothers-to-be, hallelujah. We see, you know, there's miracles here in all shapes, forms, and sizes and stories. And all you mothers out there, this is yours. We love you. You're a miracle in yourself. I want to pray. I'm going to ask all the men in here and women who may be still in the congregation to stretch your faith this way. And I'm going to stretch my faith that way and believe God for all mothers to be blessed this day. Hallelujah. Before we do that, I want this mother to share. David, could you reach that mic? She's asked to share something. Thank you, ma'am. Mama. Aren't mothers great?
I didn't know I was going to share anything, but as I was sitting there and as your pastor was speaking, my heart began to go to some things that are real special to me in the Word, and I know he wants me to share them with you, some things that God has shared with me over the years as a mother and then as a grandmother, and as the husband or the wife of the man of God in this church. First of all, those of you that know me, you know that I talk a lot about kids and grandkids. Thank you, baby. And that was perfect. Anyway, the Word says, I was saying we learn a lot from our children, or I do anyway. Maybe it's my pea brain, I don't know, but I learn a lot from my kids. The Word says in Mark 10, "Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So I'd encourage you to become as a little child and just receive him. I learned something from one of my grandchildren. I learned from them all, but one experience that's touching me this morning is an experience I had with Isla when she was real little and she was sitting in the car seat behind me. She taught me something about loving you, because she told me one time, she was small enough to be in a car seat, only about 2.5 or 3 years old, just about his age. And she could talk a little bit more. She was a little older than him, but we were riding along in the car, just me and her, and she said, "Nana, sometimes I'm a little shy." And I told her, "Well, baby, that's okay. It's all right. You do know Nana was a little shy, and I still am. I don't like to get up and talk in front of people, and I'm a little shy too. But when you grow up, Jesus will help you. He'll help you not to be so shy, and he'll help you." And she goes, "But Nana, sometimes I don't like people." And do you know, sometimes I don't like people. And I told her, I said, "Baby, you know what? I have the same problem. Sometimes I don't either, but you know what? It's okay. Jesus helps us. We may not like people sometimes, but Jesus helps us to love people." And he just overrides that. It doesn't matter what a person seems like to you. Jesus can help you to love him.
Yes.
And in this word here that I speak, thank God for Miss Gay when she taught us, and over and over and over again, thousands of times we've said these confessions, but this part of it applies. And it says, "Jesus, you are my Savior, you are my Lord. Whatever you ask, that's what I'll do. I am your servant, I am your bond slave, and by my free will choice I serve you by serving these people that you love so much and that I love so much." And so that's something I wanted to share with you. And also, the Lord wants me to share just one little extra thing with you. And it's about our minds going wild and trying to cause us to stray from the things that God has that he would want us to be thinking on. In John 21:22, it says, "Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeth him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? But Jesus said to him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me." And God has spoke that to me so many times. As a younger woman growing, when I first was married, I had a horrible time with jealousy. I would be jealous about every young lady that would come around. But God helped me through those times. And over the years, as you get older, women, that jealousy becomes envy. You begin to think, oh, I'm getting older. Look at these young ladies. They all seem prettier than you are. You've grown older. But then the Lord has been reminding me, what is that to me if they tarry with him until he comes? So he's helped me to look at them a little differently over the years. And when the enemy comes at your minds, moms and grandmas, trying to trouble you over your looks or over your age or whatever you're doing, when he tries to make you have horrible thoughts towards somebody because you know deep down you love them to pieces, he will help you. But he wants to tell you, and it's like a love and rebuke that he's saying to us, what is it to me if they tarry on God's breast until he comes? I need to think about what the Lord would have me to do and do what he has me to do. And that was really hard for me to share that, but that's what
that's
I wanted.
It's more great. Hallelujah. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Let's pray for our moms. Bless them. Father, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for that good word. And Father, we just pray for every single one of them, no matter what their generation or what their station in life. And those to whom that are watching this morning, we bless them. We bless them all. We pray that, Lord, their latter days will be physically more, they'll be more stronger, that physical ailments will leave their bodies as the children of Israel exited Egypt. And all there was no feeble among them. I pray that there'll be no feeble among them and no feeble among these. May they be blessed in their minds, their emotions, and cause these women of God everywhere who call upon the name of the Lord to raise up as spiritual Esthers and warriors in this last day. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you. We will see you Wednesday night. Amen.